Thank you for listening to this sermon from MCA Church. If you'd like to learn more about what's going on in our community, head to our website at mcachurch.ca. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning once again. It is nice to be back. I'm just going to move this. It's great to be back. I had a really great time away with you, Murray and Michelle and Michael, and it is always refreshing to see what God is doing in different parts of the world, and I'm sure over the next weeks and months, you'll hear about some of those stories, some of the stories of what it's actually like to be with Michael on the road, all right? It's not just about being with me. No, it was great. The Lord is good, and He has things in store for our church that are the result of that trip. So, I don't want to miss out on the life God wants for me. A few years ago, the New Yorker, they shared the story about a newlywed couple who went to stay at a fancy beachside resort after their wedding. And so the husband was sure to call ahead and make sure he booked them into the honeymoon suite. He spared no expense. And so they made their journey on the airplane and checked into the hotel late at night. And when they got to their room, they were wildly underwhelmed. It was small and cramped, with only a pull-out couch to sleep on. And the man was understandably very angry, so he called down requesting a change of rooms. But the attendant told him that the hotel was full, so nothing could be done. And so, exhausted and disappointed, they pulled out the couch, made their bed, and went to sleep for the night. And in the morning, the man called down to the front desk to see what could be done. And when the attendant heard what room they were in, she was quite surprised. So she decided to go up and have a look for herself. When she opened the door, she saw the sofa bed that had been pulled out and slept on and the luggage tucked in the corner of the room. And then, thinking for a moment, she pointed to a small door at the corner and said, "Did you go through there?" The man looked at the door and said, "You mean through the closet door?" And the attendant simply smiled, and she opened the closet door to reveal the most glorious honeymoon suite you could ever imagine. A view of the ocean, king-size bed, an expansive sitting area, flowers, chocolates, and notes of congratulations. The couple had missed out on all of it. They had spent the night in the hallway when they could have been in the suite. Let me say it again. I don't want to miss out on the life God wants for me. The adventure, the blessing, the demonstrations of grace and power, the impact. I don't want to linger in the hallway when the door to the abundant life has been opened to me. Let me say it again. I don't want to miss out on the life God wants for me. And I suspect neither do you. Neither do you. This morning, as we continue to journey through the book of Acts, which we're calling On the Move, we come to a story of two individuals who walked through the door. Two people who walked through the door and are living into the abundant life that God desires for each one of us. And today, through their story, my hope is that the Spirit of God will move you through a door in your own life. Out of the hallway and into the spacious world of adventure and blessing, grace and power, a life of impact that is yours in Christ Jesus. Are you willing? Are you open? Turn with me to Acts chapter 8, and we're going to pick up where Pastor Cam left off last week, chapter 8. Verses 26 to 40, they're on page 764 in the Pew Bible in front of you. Acts 8, 26 to 40. And as I read, I want you to pay attention. Pay attention to where you see the Spirit moving in the text. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Egyptians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, give us ears to hear and the courage to follow. Amen. At every turn in this scene, we see God's Spirit on the move. God is moving by speaking. He's moving by speaking. We see it first in Philip, verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." We hear it again in verse 29. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Mark this, church. God's Spirit is moving in the world by speaking to people in the world, speaking to those who are tuned to hear his voice. It's how he moves in the world. Now, I can't be entirely sure how this scene played out in the real life of Philip. I don't know if he heard an audible voice from the heavens or if he saw God's messenger standing before him speaking to him. In my mind's eye, I picture something a little less dramatic, something a little more down to earth. God speaking in a confident whisper heard only in Philip's heart. But no matter how Philip heard it, he heard the divine voice all the same. And he said, "Philip, go for a walk. Philip, do you see that chariot over there? Philip, go stand near it." Does God speak like that today? Does God move through our world by speaking specifically, by speaking directly to people in the world? I'll never forget the day when I was a young 14-year-old and my friend's father knocked on our door. We called him Mr. D. And my family was going through a difficult time, as families do sometimes, especially when you have two teenagers in the house. Anyone have teenagers in the house? Well, that night was a tough night for us. Those of us in the house, we were feeling the weight of brokenness. And I remember sitting in the living room with my parents there, and my mom was crying. And we were distraught. We were brokenhearted. We felt alone, and we felt discouraged. And then came the knock at the door. And I remember thinking, who could that be? I mean, it's 9 o'clock at night. Who would be knocking on our door at this time of the night? And so I went, I opened the door, and there I saw Mr. D standing on our front step. And this was a strange thing because we didn't really know him all that well other than to simply say hello. And so I greeted him at the door, and I asked why he had come. I can still picture in my mind seeing him at the front door and asking him why he was there. The memory is ingrained in my mind. He looked like a deer caught in the headlights. Awkward, strangely awkward, uncomfortable, unsure of himself. But after this awkward moment, he mustered up the courage and he said, "I was praying. And I felt like I needed to come over here and pray with your family." I was stunned. So Mr. D came into our house, moved by the Holy Spirit, and he prayed prayers of intercession over our broken family. And you have no idea the impression that that left on a young teenager like me. God saw our pain. He knew our need. And he moved in a praying man to let us know that we were not alone. God wanted to encourage us. He wanted to minister to us. And he did it by speaking to one of his own. Does God speak directly, specifically in our world today? Yes, of course. Michael Ramadan is the president of the Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. And he tells a story about a minister that he met one day from Iran. And on that day, the minister was driving with his wife, and they stopped in a small Iranian village to buy some water. And when they parked out in front of the store, they noticed that down the alleyway, a man standing, leaning against the wall and holding a machine gun. And the minister's wife, she looked at the man's face, she looked at his gun, and she started to pray. Of course. Then after a moment, she turned to her husband, put her Bible in his hand, and said, "Give this Bible to that man." Her husband looked at her like she was crazy, as one would, but she persisted. "I'm serious. Give it to him. Please give him the Bible." And so he took the book, went into the shop, purchased the water, climbed back into the car, and started to drive away like any sane person would. And his wife looked at him and said, "You didn't give him the Bible." And then she bowed her head and began to pray again. And at that point, the minister turned toward his wife and said, "Fine, if you want me to die, I will turn around and give the man the Bible." So he turned the car around, went back to the store, got out of the car, proceeded to give the gun-wielding man the Bible. The man received it, and when he opened the book and saw what it was, he began to weep. And through his tears, he explained, "I don't live here. I had to walk for 3 days to get to this village. But 3 days ago, an angel appeared to me and told me to walk to this village and wait until someone had given me a book that contains the keys to life. Thank you for giving me this book." Does God speak today? The answer is yes. Yes, God speaks like that today, and I, for one, don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to miss out on the way in which God moves through his world by speaking to his people who live in the world. I don't want to miss it, and I suspect you don't either. And here's the thing. living into a life like that, it depends on two things. It depends on hearing and risking. It depends on cultivating an ear to hear God's voice in our life, and then the willingness to take the risk and follow through on what we hear. Hearing and risking. Philip, go south down the road to Gaza. Philip, do you see the chariot? Go stand near it. Mr. D, go pray for that family whom you hardly know. No, don't pray in the comfort of your own living room. Go knock on their door in the late evening and pray with them. Daughter of mine, get this Bible into the hands of the man over there. Yes, the one holding the gun. Do you see what's required? Hearing and risking. If we don't want to miss out on the grand adventure and blessing and grace and power and impact that God wants for our lives, then we need to learn how to hear and to risk. You see, the truth of it is, we could all float through our Christian lives quite comfortably without much of a bother. It would be easy to do. Attending services, the odd Bible study, a potluck or two. But if we do, if we settle for that, then we will never make an impact in the world. We will never really be part of God's remarkable redemptive movement in the world. If we settle for that life, we're resigning ourselves to living out the rest of our days in the hallway of God's purpose. But he's inviting us into the suite. He invites us to take our place in the adventure of his redemptive work in the world, to participate in the wonder and power of bringing the life of heaven to bear here upon the earth in Jesus' name. And it all depends on this. Hearing his voice and having the courage to follow. I don't want to miss out on a life like that. And neither do you. It all starts with hearing. This morning, God is inviting each one of us into the lifelong pursuit of hearing his voice. To be part of the adventure, we need to learn to listen. And we cultivate a listening ear through the practice of prayer. And growing up in my home, we listened to classical music and opera. I hated it. Dad, I hated it. My dad's here this morning. I've come to love it now. If I was going to ask for an amen, it would have been on one of the other points. Oh, I love you guys. I've come to love it, but I didn't care for it as a young person. What amazes me these days is the beauty of the overlapping sounds, the stringed instruments pushing and pulling with the brass instruments, which in tune are dancing with the percussion and the woodwind instruments. It's like poetry in motion. But imagine my dad saying to a very young Keith, "Son, listen to the flutes in the song. Don't they sound beautiful?" As a child, I would have been totally lost and said, "What flutes? It all sounds like noise to me." You see, I need to learn to know what flutes sound like on their own, separate from the rest of the orchestra, before I'm able to pick out their sound in a symphony. And so it is with us as God's children. Unless we learn to hear his voice in the quiet moments of life, we won't be able to hear him in the symphony of sounds that fill up our living. So if I can give you any advice about stepping into the life God wants for each one of you, if I can encourage you in any direction this morning, it is towards prayer. Take time in the practice of prayer. Pray and listen. Listen and pray. And if you're new to all of this, if you're just starting out, it can simply be 5 minutes. Pray, and as you do, journal your thoughts. Jot down what comes to mind, the scripture verses, the thoughts, write it down. You just might find that it's in those moments of quiet, in listening, God is moving, that he's speaking to you, that he's teaching you to hear his voice. And as he does, as he speaks, as you hear, take the risk. Take the risk. Stand next to the chariot. Go pray with the family. Give him the Bible. Or perhaps it's like this. Send that text. Make the phone call. Share the word. Give it away. Tell them you're sorry. Take the risk. God moves through his world through those who hear and risk. None of us wants to miss out on the life God wants for us, do we? The adventure, the blessing, the grace and power and impact. And you know what? Deep down, I don't think we want other people in our city to miss out on it either. Philip didn't. Look at verses 27 to 28. So Philip took the risk. He started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Egyptians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And as this story goes on, we learn that this man from Ethiopia, he didn't understand what he was reading. Now, we should note that God was speaking. As he often does, God was speaking to the Ethiopian man through his word. God speaks through his word, the Bible. But he didn't know what it meant. In the Ethiopian's own words, he says, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" You see, sometimes hearing God's word is like trying to pick the flutes out of an orchestra. A person needs help to hear. And so Philip helps the Ethiopian man hear. Now, I don't want you to miss the beauty of God's timely grace to the Ethiopian man. We're told in the text a little bit about who he is, that he's the treasurer of the Ethiopian queen. This was a big deal. This was an important person. But he's also described as a eunuch. And eunuchs were commonly employed as court officials at the time, so this was not an uncommon scene. But here's the point. He was a man who had experienced trauma in his life. He had experienced abuse and humiliation. And we're told that he's reading a particular passage from the prophet Isaiah. Talk about God's sovereign direction. Listen to the words he was reading in his experience in life. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that the Ethiopian man could identify with the injustice and trauma and humiliation that Isaiah is speaking about. And so the question that the Ethiopian man asks, it makes sense. He wants to know who is being described in this text. Who is the one that can identify with the pain of his life? And Philip helps him hear. He helps him hear the voice of God in his life. And he explains, what you are reading, it's all about Jesus. It all points to Jesus. You see, the text that he's reading is from Isaiah 53. And it's a section of scripture that is often called the Songs of the Suffering Servant. It speaks of a servant who suffers unjustly for the sake of others and offers his own life as an atonement for the sins of the people. And so when we put these pieces together, Philip, he announces the good news of God to the eunuch. He helps him hear the gospel. Jesus has taken the injustice of sin upon himself, and he suffered its humiliation, and has made way for all that is broken to be made new again in God's power. What a message for the Ethiopian eunuch to hear. He needed to hear it. Oh, how he longed to hear it. God moves in people who hear his voice, and Philip serves to help the man hear. It's remarkable. It's powerful. It's life-changing. And having heard the Ethiopian man, he risks. He sees some water, and seeing the water, he says, I'm going all in. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And make no mistake, this is a risk. It's a risk because when we go all in with Jesus, we're saying, I'm ready to stop calling the shots in my own life. I'm ready to follow you, Jesus, because I see that you have the keys to life and I don't. It's a risk. I'm ready to walk through the door, out of the hallway and into the suite of your abundant life. No person should ever miss out on that. That adventure, that blessing, that grace and power and impact. You see, that's what baptism is. It's an outward sign that you have heard the gospel of Jesus. That though you once lived under the weight of sin, both your own or the sins done against you, now, through the sacrifice of Jesus, you have been forgiven and are being made whole. Baptism is the sign that says you want to jump into that story fully and completely. You want to be marked by it, drenched by it, consumed by it, healed by it. It's the action that says, I don't want to miss another moment of the life that God has dreamed for me. And perhaps for you today, it's time to dive in, to go all in with Jesus, to take the risk, to take the step of faith and to be baptized. You see, for some people here today, the message is God's call on your life into a deeper relationship in prayer. But for others, it's about God's call on your life into the waters of baptism. If that's what God is stirring in your heart, if that's what you hear him saying, take the risk. Take the risk and tell someone that you want to go all in with Jesus. Tell someone. Tell me. Tell the friend you're here with. Tell your Empower group. Tell someone. We'll find a body of water for you. Take the risk. And tell someone you're ready to go all in with Jesus. You will not be disappointed. No one is ever disappointed when they walk through the door into the abundant life that God has prepared for us. Amen? As I was preparing this message on Thursday this week, I prayed a simple prayer. I prayed, Jesus, what do you want to say to your people? Here's what I heard. Beloved, I have more words to speak to you. And in this moment, I'm going to add something. Beloved, I have more words to speak with you that aren't spoken from Keith's lips. I have more words to speak to you because I have more of myself to share with you. I have more of myself that I want to share with this city that I love. Friends, there is more. God wants you to hear his voice in deeper, more intimate, more profound, more compelling, more exciting ways. And he is faithful to do it as we tune our ear to hear. Friends, I want you to know this morning that this is not it. That what you're experiencing in your life with God is not the end of the line. You haven't arrived. And that's such a wonderful thing. There is more to experience because God has more to speak to you, more to call you into. He has more to say through to his world through you. I don't want to miss out on the life that God wants for me. Do you? If you want more, I'm going to ask if you will stand with me as I pray. Will you stand with me? If you want to hear more of God's voice, if you want to experience more through stepping into the waters of baptism, will you stand? If you want to have a life that's willing to risk, will you stand? If you want to be part of God's beautiful, rich, redemptive movement in the world, will you stand? Let's pray. Jesus, speak, for your servants are listening. Jesus, you have a room full of willing hearts. You've never disappointed a willing heart yet. And you won't begin today. And so fill us afresh with your Spirit. Give us ears to hear and the courage to follow. We are your people. Amen.